Today, we will learn the message title for the Lord needs it. And the key verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. One more time, the key verse. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, the pastor will share the word of God with us. Greetings to the congregation. Thank the Lord for this opportunity to come and worship. Some of our youngsters, the youth, as well as the young couple are having a retreat. But we are thankful some of us still here to worship on Sunday as well. And today, the first of the month, we will have communion. And the passage we read is about the point where Jesus will go to the cross and he came into Jerusalem. If Jesus has the opportunity to come to our church, what will you do if Jesus comes here to visit? Will you put the palms up and wave at Jesus? What about water? If we don't have water ready, Jesus would not have anything to drink. Would you wipe the clean the seat? If not, Jesus would have anywhere to sit. Each one of us could see some things that we can do for our Lord Jesus. Not just a praise of a loud voice, but we are the creation of his handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. So let us see our value so that we can be used by the Lord. There's a young pastor come to a church. This is a big church. And in this church, there is one lady, and she sort of like one who liked to gossip. And she came to the pastor and said, I do not understand how you dare attempt the task of pleasing 700 people when you come here to serve. The purpose. And if the pastor answered one way, then this lady will go out and tell everybody else about the reason. But this pastor did not answer the way this a woman wanted. And then he has this kind of answer. Dear lady, I did not come to the city to please 700 people. I did not come to the city to please 700 people. I have to please only one. And if I please him, all will be well. So when we think about if you and I, why the Lord needs us, and there is something that we do for the Lord with our zeal, if we do it with a joyful attitude, if we do it with a clear mind and conscience, and if we do it with all the best of our ability, then will we serve the Lord in the right way? And when we please the Lord, and so that we can please everybody else. And this morning, with the title, Because the Lord Needs It, and the story we have read, he needs the coat so that he can ride into Jerusalem. And that coat has served his value. Are we being used by the Lord the same way? Let's pray for guidance. We thank you, Lord, because you have blessed us. And becoming your children is an honor. And so, may the glory of the Lord be in our heart. And this is serving the Lord it is an honor for us, Lord, because you need each one of us in the particular time, in different tasks, in different position, because we are your handiwork created in Jesus to do all the things, good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. We know where our responsibility, where our task is, and how to use, to be used by you to do your good works. Please guide us as we study your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 3 points we want to study together so that God can use us. First, God will lead if we obey the Lord. The second point is God needs us if we become untied. And the third point is that God will need us if we are ready. God will need us if we obey. After Jesus had said that, he went on ahead going to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethany at the hill called Mount Olives, he sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here." Jesus told the two disciples, they don't have any recorded their names. Or you can put your name as these two disciples. Or if you, the Lord asked me, Lathan Jung, if you see a colt tied there, never heard it, untie it and bring it here. Would you do that? Would you dare to do that? Well, I think. If I come there and then somebody will scold us, "What are you doing with my coat? Are you stealing it?" This is not an easy command to do. That we don't know why Jesus sent the disciple to do something very unusual. What for? And who would be the owner of the colt? Jesus didn't say, "Come to the house at the particular address and then talk to the owner." But Jesus said, "Go into the village and you will see a colt tied there. Untie and bring it here." And that is a very difficult thing. How long do we have to go into the village to see the colt? And if we don't talk to anyone and just we untie a colt there. And this is something, if anybody asks you why you untie the colt, just say, "Because the Lord needs it." And this is very difficult task to do. That is something that, like stealing a colt from someone. And why did Jesus command us to do that? But dear congregation, these two disciples has obeyed the Lord and do that difficult task. I hope that you and I, we can be obedient to do something difficult that Jesus wants us to do. And some of us to explain, to make it more easily understandable and saying. And in the East, Middle East, there are certain areas that are very welcoming to guests. And there is some need that the people in village that try to satisfy the tourists. So here, Jesus has a need, a coat. Maybe the people in the village understand it and supply that to the need of Jesus, because they want to please the guests. But it's still difficult. And some other explanation, maybe Jesus just prearranged the coat with the owner, that Jesus will borrow the coat from the owner. And the password, that whoever say the right words, and that password, because the Lord needs it like a password, So when the owner hears the password, then the owner knows that that's from Jesus, and that's an explanation. However, we see that when we Jesus told the disciples that they don't go to the owner, but just go there and see the coat and bring it back. And when the owner asks, then just say, the Lord needs it. And all these explanations is only a lot, try to make the story more palatable to the audience, but the congregation. The word of the Lord said, there are certain commandments for you and me that is very difficult for us to carry out. But if we know how to obey the Lord, if the Lord needs it, and we obey the Lord, and at that time, that is something valuable for the Lord, because we are His created in Jesus Christ to do all the good works that God has prepared in advance for us. There are certain things that God would want to use it, you, to glorify the Lord. And God has a plan for each of us. Maybe different. Clearly, each one of us has a plan that God has for us, that God can use our life in a particular role. I don't want to make this more palatable, just like some other explanation. But this morning, I want to tell you one thing. When someone loves the Lord, then the Lord will enable them. So, if we love the Lord, and the Lord will know that person. When we value them based on the action of our worship, giving more and wearing nice clothes, maybe that person, we can evaluate somebody based on the external appearance. However, when God sees the heart of man, this person has loved the Lord in their heart. Only God can see in our heart. And God knows that if there is something left the Lord, and that person can use that person for His everlasting plan. In the Bible, we know that when Jesus sent Joshua to come into attack and conquer Jericho, when they come into the promised land, Jericho is a very strong city. They could not use their own effort to destroy the city. But because of their obedience, they walk around the city one time and do that for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they have to walk around the city seven times, cry out, and then the walls fall down. They can only follow the Ark of the Covenant that represents the presence of God surrounding, walking around the city. But how did the wall fall down? It's the word of the Lord. When the wall fell down, and Jesus said, God said, you must destroy everybody in the city. But only leave alone one family, and that is the family of Rahab, the prostitute. And this particular has feared the Lord and hid the two spies of the Israelites. Because before that, Joshua has sent the two spies to the city of Jericho. Thanks be to the Lord. There is one person who loved the Lord in the city. Rahab. Someone who loved the Lord and feared the Lord and told the spy, I know your God has given this land into your hand. She recognizes that fact. And she said, my people, when they heard of your God, have done, and the whole people are so fearful, they have no courage to fight because of that recognition of Rahab and they, she answered, I hid you, I hide you, and someday that when you attack the city, please leave us alone, keep us alive and our family, even our, my relatives. And the spy said, I will give you a red cord and you have to tie it at the window. Whenever we come here, whoever is inside that house, they will be safe. But whoever does not come into that house with that cord tied, that person will die. Even your relatives, your congregation. Praise God, because God could see each one of our heart. And Rahab is tested, fear of the Lord, and her life was spared. And Rahab has become great grandmother of the King David. That is something very unusual, right? A Gentile to become a part of Israel is strange, but now this Rahab prostitute become a great grandmother of David, which is the patriarch of Jesus. So whoever loves the Lord will use that person. When the prophet Eli was used, he sent Elisha to Sarepta. During the famine, he was sent to Sarepta. For what? What to eat there? There is a widow. A widow in the has no possession. They have no right to hold any possession. And this widow is a person that is poorer than any other widows. And when Elisha came there and see her, he said, can you bake me a piece of bread? I told you I have nothing. So I have a little flour and a little oil. And I will bring back some steak to burn to make a bread. And after we eat it, we will die. That's so poor. How poor that widow is. But God saw the heart of this widow. When Elisha said, go and bake me a bread and bring the bread to me first, and then the Lord will bless you. You will never end up with a lot of oil, and the flour can keep remaining for you. This heart of this widow, and she obeyed the command of the Lord. So she has many bread to eat with her son. If there's one person who loved the Lord, miracles happen. And so, after many days, the crowd followed. Dear Jesus, this is night time. Can you send them home? But Jesus said, you have to feed them. Where is the money to buy food? Where is the food coming from to feed the 5,000? But Jesus knew that in this crowd, only counting the men, there is one boy. This boy loves the Lord and he is ready to give up his part of his meal, 5 bread and 2 fish. And it's only one portion for a meal. But Jesus knows there is a little boy who loves the Lord. And that's why Jesus did not send that crowd home. And with the portion, Jesus make that plentiful food to feed the 5,000 and even with leftover. Praise be to the Lord. Not only they can be fed, but there are remaining 12 baskets full of food. So we see that when a person loves the Lord, God can see his heart. And God can use that person in a miraculous way. Do we use our ability to bring our attitude whatever give us the ability to be participate in serving the Lord. Are we obedient to the Lord? Dear congregation, even our presence is also important. It's not we have to do something, but our faithfulness to be here can be remembered by the Lord. If you and I obey the Lord, God is ready to use us because the Lord needs each of us. The second point is that God needs us if we become untied. In verse 30, go to the village Jesus set ahead of you, and as you enter, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. When the colt was tied, God could not use it. God is only if to use that colt must be untied and bring it back to Jesus. Matthew also recorded this in 21 verse 2. Has a note that is, when go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. So there is a donkey with her colt. But the donkey was tied there. And when you come see the donkey and colt and let them back them to me. So please pay attention. The colt in Matthew is not tied, being tied, but the donkey, the mother of this colt, was tied. And the donkey was tied. The colt will not go anywhere because the colt wants to stay with the mother. This is an important one. Let's think about this. When Jesus said, if somebody asks, tell them, because the Lord needs them. And this is according to Matthew. There are the donkeys, there were donkeys and the colt, both. And Jesus wants to use the colt. But what about the donkey? Because without the donkey, the colt would not be useful. I was in Da Lạt back in Vietnam. And when in Da Lạt, they have someone who drives the horse, horse-drawn carriage. And if the horse gives birth to a foal, and a baby horse will follow the mother, always follow the mother. There's no tie, no string to attach to the colt. And when the colt grows up, and they will practice for that grown colt, and they will know how to draw the carriage, just like the mother. Because this colt has been walking with the mother all along. And in here, we have to pay attention. If there are someone asked, why do you want this colt? Saying that, because the Lord needs it. Jesus is need the colt, but the donkey must be next to it. And then the colt can be used. Because the colt need her donkey, her mother. Whatever tie us up in our life must be untied so that God can use us. When God used the colt, not because he's tired, so that send them out, the disciples, to get the colt back to Jesus. Not because Jesus was tired, but why did Jesus ride on this colt? He rode the colt to satisfy or to fulfill the prophecy in 520 years before. In the Old Testament, there was a prophet named Zechariah, and this prophet prophesied that something will happen during the time of Jesus. And it is in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, like this. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. 520 years before Christ, there is a prophecy that Jesus will ride a foal of a donkey. And now, God is making this prophecy fulfilled. And Jesus sent them. So that in Matthew said that you will see a donkey tied, but the colt is not tied next to it. What you need to do is you have to bring both the donkey and the colt back to Jesus. New congregation. Do you think that our life has been used, if it is, we must untie all the things that tie us down to this world? I'd like to tell you about a young child. He's about 5, that he has a heart condition, and the parents brought this child to a very famous doctor to cure his sickness of the heart. Tomorrow, you will operate on my heart, right? And the doctor, what will you see when you operate my heart? And when I operate on your heart, and I will see what is being damaged there, I will restore that particular one. Oh, when you open the heart, you will see Jesus or God in my heart. And Jesus said, I don't believe anything like that. Your God has give you a heart that is damaged. And so you have to suffer. I will fix your heart when I operate on your heart to make it better. And then your heart will be restored. And the boy said, no. When you open my heart, you will see God in my heart. And this doctor feel uncomfortable because of this saying of this youngster. But he ignored. He said, I know what I have to do. If in this heart, there is certain vein that could not supply blood, I will fix it. If there is something that is weakened, I will restore that muscle. And you will have a better heart. And the boy said nothing. Dear doctor, I know that you will see God in my heart. In my heart. And the operation has finished. When the doctor left the operation room, he went to his office and he recorded the progress of the operation, the result of it. In there it's recorded. The major vein of the heart has been damaged. And there could not flow. And the vein for the lung has been damaged as well. All the muscle around the heart has been weakened. And it could not work again. There is no hope to replace even her. No hope to a cure. And below, he noted that the way to treat is to take the medicine to reduce the pain and rest. And after a while, he wrote like this. The prospect could die in a month. Near congregation. When he reread what he recorded, he said, why is this happening? Why is this happening for this 5-year-old boy? When he said, oh God, why did you make this boy like that? You bring this child into this world and give this damaged heart. And now he can only live 5 years in this life. Why? And suddenly there is a word, some voice saying that this boy is my small man. He belongs to my flock. And the flock is mine forever. He said, why did you bring their soul? And what about their parents? Why their parents will suffer as well? And this voice said, don't worry about their parents, because their parents also the flock of my lamb of my flock, and their parents will see them this way again in the day in the future. But God, why did you make this? Why did you take a young boy like this, not to take a boy of somebody older? That only 5 innocent, only 5 years old boy. I bring his soul so he can escape the suffering of this world. And he will experience the true peace that I give him. But God, maybe this is so very hard for this little boy. I would leave their soul so that another soul who is hardened can have salvation. And thus, he lost all of his confidence. This is experience. He, professional experience, could not save this child. He saw everything damaged about this little boy's heart. And he could not do anything to save this boy. He looked up. He cried, dear God, is that the soul is me? That hardened soul is me or not, God? And then next day, the boy woke up. When he woke up, he asked the doctor, dear doctor, when you operate my heart, did you see Jesus in there? Jesus. The doctor said, yes, I have met Jesus in your heart. Thank you for letting me your Jesus in your heart. And then the boy smiled and went to sleep. I think that this boy has been untied. He was not worried about his health condition. He was not afraid that he will die young. It's so young. But God has untied so that he has something precious, that he has Jesus in his heart. And he could bring Jesus to this famous doctor. But this doctor did not believe in God. And this person, this doctor, has returned to the Lord because of his experience with this boy. What is tying us down? The devil may not tie you. The devil will use a mother donkey who is tied up. You may be too busy. That could be something that ties you down. Your family or your friends are keeping you behind. This just something that ties you down. All the entertainment like game about shopping in this world that could tie us down. that cause our love for the Lord is not there. The devil can use something else. The covetousness in our heart, the pride in our heart, is those are the things that tie us down, that we can become useless to the Lord. So the scheme of the devil is tying us to, is that we have to see so that we can be untied. The devil has tied to the Christian down to be in conformity with this world, and then we will not be useful to the Lord. So that whatever they live, I have to live the same way. What the world can achieve, I want to achieve like this world achieved, so they can become one of them to conform to this world. The devil is tied us in our work. Oh, I have a need. I have obligation for my church. And we will have no time for be used to the Lord. The devil can tie us to our friends. Just think that if I'm not indifferent to my friends, then my friends will all leave me. If the devil can tie us down of our entertainment, we have to enjoy this life. Without entertainment, it will be so boring. The devil can tie us tied in some kind of an advantage because we do not want to be losing to our friends. The devil can tie us down in a place to lose our honor, our integrity before others. Or the devil can tie us in the tradition, in the whatever they do, I will follow their action to imitate. In the old time Israel, the devil has tied to go to the promised land, but their heart is looking back to Egypt. Are we in that same condition? There are certain ties, certain cords, not directly on us, like the Christian in Afghanistan, who are facing persecution and they give first death. Not like Christian in Ethiopia who is persecuted like in China. But our situation and even our freedom here can tie us down because of our freedom as well. I give thanks to the Lord because when I serve the Lord as a youngster, I was born in a poor family. That somebody will say, tell me, you don't have any talent. My friend said, they have new clothes. I have to, because I don't have enough money, I have to buy old clothes for me. And then I have to go back and fix these old clothes and then sew them back. And this is how I was able to make clothes for me. When we served the Lord, I did not go to the Bible school. I could not serve the Lord without that. But God just untied all those obligation requirements. God is using my when I was young until today. Not letting my honor be hurt. If I have God, I have everything. And thanks be to God, because God loves my life to come here and serve the Lord here. Many servants of the Lord, and every week I have other pastor listening and recording of those Bible study each Wednesday is in my phone. It surprises me. And I was surprised how God unties me. That do not let anything on this world to tie us down. Directly or indirectly. And so we could not become someone that can be used by the Lord. That the Lord has safe for us to do. The third point is that God leads us if we are ready. When Jesus went to Jerusalem, and this is a time Jesus glorified, God is glorified Jesus. Why did Jesus send the apostle for the coat? And according to John chapter 12, verse, the apostle did not understand. After that, when Jesus went to Jerusalem and everybody praised the Lord, and that time they remember the prophecy of Zechariah in chapter 9, verse 9. God has used a prophet to talk about the victorious entry into Jerusalem. So when Jesus gave the command to send the apostle to get the call, they obey God. Here, there are some things must be ready for Jesus to use. And that is the owner. Jesus said, if anybody asks you, why did you untie the coat? Just say, because Jesus needs it. Well, there are one donkey or a donkey and a colt, and the owner is ready for the colt to be used by the Lord. Are we ready to use our talent, or we let our talent to be wasted? Are we using offering our intelligence, anything that God gave us, to be serving the Lord, or anything of that just used for a meaningless purpose? Here, even the little coat can be useful to the Lord. And the Lord said, and they said that when the coat was there, Jesus used all the people around it. Praise the Lord. Jesus, maybe this coat is feel peaceful because the donkey, the mother donkey is there. When Jesus was praised by the crowd, and that particular coat also as an honor to carry Jesus there, because he is carrying a king of the world. Do you see the honor if God is using us to do something very small? The technician, the slime, the one who prepared the room, or the one who take care of this facility, whether small or big, you have to be proud that we are serving the Lord. Or you just like, I want to be the one waving the palms. I have to be seen by others praising the Lord. If we use our talent to serve the one who gave us the opportunity, then that is an honor to serve the Lord then. Here, we see the crowd is ready. And when Jesus came, everybody was shouting. They were not waiting for him. They were ready about there. And when Jesus crossed with the rain, they praised the Lord. Praised the Lord with all the glory of heaven. Peace in heaven and glorify us. Martin Luther said, I have held many things in my hands. I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess forever. There are many things, but if we keep them to ourselves, we will lose it. Even our soul. Whoever keep your soul, you will lose it. But whoever, because of me, that we use our soul, whatever we have, time, talent, whatever we have, that we lift it off of the world, in the lesson, and then we will repossess it again. Our God, He needs you and me. He needs the heart that is ready, and the Lord is ready for us as well. In verse 39, a few Pharisees said, when they heard the people were praising the Lord, and they feel uncomfortable and said, "Teacher, rebuke your disciple. Just be quiet. Don't shout anymore. They were so noisy." But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, "I tell you, Pharisee, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." How can the rock praise God? That's something unusual, right? But what God has done so many miracles. In the wilderness, there was no water. They were complaining. And God told Moses, "Go to the rock and tap on the rock." And then water. Where does water come from? To feed the 2 million along with me. That's a miracle. We could not explain anything that God can do. There was nothing to eat in the wilderness, but manna came down from heaven for 40 years. Dear congregation, something unusual that we could not imagine God can do. When Jesus said, if they are quiet, the stone will cry out. But something, if we don't do it, but God will use the rock to do it. So we have the honor to do what God gives us the opportunity. Please, we will do it with our zeal, with our intelligence, with our mind, our strength, and our heart. This little quote, it appeared to fulfill the prophecy that was prophesied about this code 520 years ago. How about you and me? Are we fulfilled the prophecy of 2,000 years ago? And that is the key verse here. For we are God's handiwork, were created in Jesus Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. There is a little girl named Sarah. Truly, just like life comes in the place of death, so honor comes in the place of service. And this girl told his teacher, I have a poor family. I don't know what to do. And she feels like she could not do anything because she belonged to a poor family. And the Sunday school saying, "Do you see a little pot of flower there? That pot flower there? Nobody is using that. But if each week you can put a little flower in that pot, then you are serving the Lord," Sarah said. "But that is so small thing. That's nothing special. Nothing can please God." And the teacher said, "No, God will be pleased even if you do it." Somebody has forgotten that. And the next week, and Sarah came to the church. She took a bunch of flowers in the yard, and then she put it in the vase in next to the window. And in the hallways become brighter because of these flowers. And the next week, and then she asked for some rose. And then the daisy, not a lot, but every week, she put a few flowers there. And she made that hallway become brighter because of the flowers. And the pastor said, see that somebody is putting the flowers in the vase. And there, he took the pot of flower there and put it in the pulpit and chosen. Dear congregation, if one of us can participate in something like this, I do not know who put the flower in this pot, but every week I see a new flower in this pot next to the flower, and it makes the hallway very bright. And Sarah feels very good because I have done something that is meaningful. And one day, the next few days, the parents of Sarah and know that her health is deteriorating. And she took her to a pediatrician. This pediatrician is also attending church, is the husband of the Sunday school teacher. When the doctor examined Sarah, and so leukemia was the diagnosis for Sarah. And it has been going on for a long time. So she became confronted with that. And this is the time her health deteriorates quickly. And the next few weeks, Sarah did not come to church. And some of the people in the church remember what Sarah did. They came and visited, but her health completely almost gone. And the church have mercy for this girl. And when the pastor was teaching, and when he looked, she looked, see the parents, saw Sarah's parents. Oh, Sarah is coming to us. And so her face could not. She was wrapping her blanket around her, and she walked up to the pastor. And then in her hand is a flower. And he walked. And she used the pot that the pastor was used, that was behind the pulpit. He took the flower. She put the flower in there and put that there. And in there said no. And then she returned to her seat. 4 days later, Sarah passed away. In the day of her memorial service, Pastor saw Dr. Dever and gave this piece of paper that Sarah has put in the pot of flower. And this is saying to Sarah, and the doctor said, dear God, this vase has been the biggest honor of my life. Signed, Sarah. That is something very small that Sarah had done. Nobody paid attention to that Sarah has done. But Sarah has done it with a heart. This is my honor. I hope that you and I can contribute something to the Lord in serving Him. Even when we just attend church in a faithful way, that is an honor. May we not become not useless before the plan that the Lord has for us. One God can only have our time when we offer it to Him. God can only have our possession if we bring our possession to Him. God can only use our talent when we offer the talent to God. God can only use our love if we express our love to Him. If not, you and I will be useless for the Lord. May God bless you and me, so then we can be serving the Lord as an honor. This is the first Sunday of the month. We will have communion, and the cup and the bread represent the body and blood of Christ. Some other church will use bread and grape juice to represent the body of Christ. And some poor church, they use a little, very small piece of bread and then just the water. And here, we use this cup has been prepared for us in a neat way like this to represent the blood and body of Christ. Whatever form we use to represent the body and blood, we have to remember the value of communion is not in the bread and the cup like this, but it is in the meaning of this representation. If we can use a paper to make a flag, or use the paint to paint a flag, and that flag is important, not because it is a paint or on a piece of cloth, but it is a symbol that represents a country. Who trample on this flag is trampling on that father. Whoever trample on the symbol of the body of Christ, we will be committing sin against the Lord. This morning, we will have communion. When we receive the cup and bread, remember, that represents the sacrifice who has agreed to come down, become like us, suffer on the cross in place of our death for us. Let's all stand. Let's turn our hearts for God for prayer. Dear our Father, loving Father, we are thankful for, because we are sinners deserving death before you. But you have loved us. You have prepared so that we can become valuable. You have changed our life to become a handiwork in Jesus Christ, so we can do that God has prepared for us. There are certain things that is so difficult for us to be obedient. There are certain ties on this world that is difficult for us to untie. And there are certain things that we are not ready for you yet. Oh, how can we become somebody that could be useful for you, Lord, when you have prepared something for us? And in today's lesson, may you reminding in each heart, remember, you are needing us when we obey you. You need us when you let God untie the tie of this world. You need us when we are ready for you. We will receive the cup and bread. And may you use this symbol to remind in each of us, remember, because that we belong to you, and we will live for the glory of your Lord Jesus Christ. May we be worthy when we receive the cup and bread. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.